And I love this book. I remember when I first read this, but I read the book before I was actually given the assignment to teach it. But it really helped me out a lot. You know, one of the biggest things that you can deal with in being a Christian sometimes is not knowing. You know, you're supposed to read the Bible, but not knowing what to read or how to read it or where to go. So we do the Proverbs, you know, 31 days. Thing, you know, we've done that. Anybody done that before? We do the Proverbs thing of 31 days a month. And it just give us some kind of semblance of where to go. Well, the truth of the matter is the entire Bible is a story about you. All right, and I'm gonna warn you before we get any further in this class, some of this stuff is gonna shake the foundation of your religion. And some of the stuff that you thought you knew about Scripture, and some of the stuff you thought you believed, is gonna take you further into your belief about what it really means. There is nothing in that Scripture that should not that you should take part of that can't be personified in you. All right, with John 1, we're gonna read it in a minute. Go to John chapter 1, and we'll read it in a second. But I have to prelude this a little bit, and we'll read it in a second, but it talks about the Word was made flesh. Y'all familiar with that? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Ain't no Word unless the Word is made flesh. You ain't got a Word if you ain't being the Word. If you cannot personify or it is not living in you as you, right, you don't have that Word. That Word is not real to you. Many times we have sermons, we have words, we have notes, we have rhetoric, we have outlines, but none of that stuff is manifesting in our persons. See, so when the Bible talks about the Word was made flesh, it was very important and very specific about why it was saying that, because it's not just words on a page, but it's words as a being. So we're going to change from that. Your study time is going to change. The time that you spend reading, we're no longer going to be trying to conquer these chapters in the Bible to try to do our good duties or to do how do I do something that I am? Not to do your devotion. You are devoted. I am devotion. Say it. Come on, say it again. Say, I am devotion. One more time. Say, I am devotion. See, I'm taking everything from the biggest trick I said in my last class, the biggest trick the enemy has ever used is separation. In the beginning, I got to go there for a minute. In the beginning, the tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? The serpent is trying to get you to eat off the tree of knowledge of good and evil because it's separate things. When there was only one thing you needed was life. Are y'all with me? And so now the trick is separation. So now since the beginning of time, and now the trick has been that you are separated from God. So now you're looking for something else. He said, where's the kingdom of God? He said, low here, low there. No, the kingdom of God is within you, but you've been looking somewhere else for it. You've been on a journey, on a pilgrimage, searching for who you are, and you already are. So now the serpent tells him, you know, you're not going to die because he just knows, talking about God, now he just know that you're going to be just like him. Well, I remember a few scriptures before that in Genesis, and I don't have time to go there, that he said he made man in his image and his likeness. So man was already like God. So what is he talking about? Deception to separation. Many times in our Bible studies, we are reading something like it's outside of ourselves. So now we read a scripture to try to accomplish a thing when it's really telling you who you are already and live from that. See, the Bible is an identification book. It's a story about you. From the beginning to the end, the Bible is about you and who you are. It is not just a list of things to give you some instructions on what to do and what not to do. It is not just a book of laws that's trying to give you some rules or something. No, it's the very being of who you are. It's your makeup. It's your DNA. From the front to back, it's describing you. Even when you see parts in the Bible that's not so comely or not so attractive, or you see certain parts about certain ones in the Bible that's our favorite Bible character, not so attractive, there's probably a piece of you in there. And you can see yourself in there. Are y'all understanding me? This is where we're going this year. Living by the book, I'm not trying to teach you how to study the Word. That's not where we're gonna be at this year. I'm not gonna teach you how to do an outline for a good message. So you can get you a good sermon. That ain't what this class about. We do too much of that. We go to ministry school and then we go try to be ministers so we can get a good word so we can preach a real good sermon. No, I need you to be the sermon. Be the message. Say, I am the message. Come on, say it again. I am the message. Come on, one more time. Say, I am the message. See, I'm going to bring everything. I'm bringing everything from outside to inside. I'm bringing everything from looking somewhere else and getting something from somewhere else to realizing that I already got it, and this is showing me how to live in it. Say, I got it already. See, I already got it. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Right? Like he's speaking in passing the thing that he has done for us already. You get it? So I already got it. So now what this is doing is showing me how to live in what I got. It's my manual. Are y'all understanding me? So y'all know we're not getting a little outline full of message. So don't come looking for that. I'm not trying to teach you how to teach a good Bible study class. That ain't what this here for. Right? What we're learning here is you. You're going to learn you. See, you don't know you till you know Christ better. Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells where? On the inside of you. 1 John 4, 4 is some of my favorite. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. See, you got more in you than that's in the world. You got more in you than what's on the outside, but we're not looking on the inside enough. So even when we read these scriptures, we go on a pilgrimage and a journey out here then instead of a journey in here. And it's digging all on the inside of us. Are y'all with me? So I plan on it being a little challenging. I plan on it to challenge your rhetoric and your religion and your doctrine a little bit. Because sometimes our rhetoric and our religion and our doctrine is off a little bit. Because if we're not getting the results that we need to get, amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. Anybody ever tried to pray some prayers but you ain't get the results you wanted from your prayer? I can't hear you. No, I can't hear you. You ever tried to pray a prayer and didn't get the result that you wanted? You ever tried to you went through the steps, but then the steps, you misstepped? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Because I was trying to step on something that I didn't have a foundation of. All right? I'm bringing everything back to the inside. Everything back to the one. Everything back to Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. Ain't no hope outside of that. Are y'all hearing me? Everything that Jesus talked about, Jesus Christ, the Christ, and the Christ is in you. You are a part of the Christ. We even get nervous sometimes. I am Christ. You get nervous when we say that, but that's what Jesus told you. Works that I do, shall you do also, and greater works than these, shall you do, because I go unto my Father. He's telling you who you are. Everything about Jesus, the Christ, was enabling you to be like him. There was not one time he said, I can do this and you can't. It was always enabling you. But the trick of the system and the trick of religion as a whole and organized religion, we got to go from organized religion to being organisms, right? We got to go from the institution to a living organism. But the trick of organized religion is to make us think that something somewhere else is going to deliver us when he's going to deliver us from the inside. We have been delivered already. Come on, say, I am.
I am.
Come on, say it again. Say, I am.
I am.
Delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And so now this, I'm going to show you, will we be honest in this class? I ain't hear y'all. Will, it depends on what you're asking me. No, are we going to be honest in this class? I can't hear you, can't we be honest? So we'll be honest. Because see, the first thing about it, before I impose my understanding of my rhetoric or my thoughts on anybody else, I impose them on myself first. I look at me first. I'll be real with me first. Right? Before I keep it real with you, I got to keep it real with me. Right? And then when I keep it real with me, my keeping it real with you becomes a real thing. All right? So you got to keep it real. You got to own up to some of your religiosities. I don't even know if that's a real word. All right? We got to own up to some of them. I got another class I'm teaching called Church Unusual. Y'all going to take it next year. If you make it to next year. Amen. All right. I'm attacking your religion. Your tradition, that's the stuff that held us back so long. Your concept about something that may not be the true concept about it. You get it? And so now we're going to be honest. All right. All right, so I'm going to ask a question. And I don't want your super spiritual, deep, philosophical, prophetic answer. All right. I just want you to be, what's your name? Say your name.
Yeah.
All right, be that. Just be calm down. No Reverend Montrell, no Minister Montrell right now. We're just talking right now, okay? All right? I said, what's your name? Okay, listen, that's just us. We just kicking it right now. We talking, okay? All right, so I need you to approach me like that. Don't approach me with your reverend answer, right? That's not what I need, all right, what I'm about to ask you. But sometimes it'd be hard to study, huh? Keep it 100, all right? Amen. Can we? Sometimes it's like difficult and it's like, I got to find time to do it. Right? Ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, bad Christian, because I know that as all of us. Everybody's hard to study. I don't know what to study. I feel like it's a little dry. I ain't hearing nothing right now. I'm just doing it so I can say I did it today so somebody asked me. That's how I used to be when I was younger. See, you know, I grew up under Apostle, my dad, so, you know, my trainer was a little different. So he'd buzz me, what you read today? And so I would be reading things just so I could say, yeah, I read chapter 14. You know, just so I could do my duties, you know, when I was younger, whatever. Right? And I was missing the point. A lot of times we do that. We're trying to read the Bible to please God. Like he ain't pleased with you already. If he wasn't pleased with you, you wouldn't be here. We're trying to do, we have all these reasons for why we do the things. And we miss the number one thing when it's just telling you about you. And so your love for the word of God, right, which is in the flesh, your love for this will change. It will increase and it will go to a place where you don't see separation in your devotion. You won't have devotion time. You know, in the morning I spend an hour of devotion. No. How many hours in a day? That's devotion. How long you awake? That's devotion. You get it? Even in your sleep, it can be devotion. How long are you conscious and awake? That's your devotion. See, we'll get on this in the class. See, like, you don't need to tote your Bible around to study it. You don't. You don't need to carry your Bible around all the time and have a Bible in your pocket to study it, right? Because you can be studying the Bible without it sitting in front of your face. God gave you a memory. A remembrance, right? Do this in remembrance, like in memory. Yeah, so even in the midst, I'm looking for God to show me if the birds flying across. Two birds flying, what you saying? What you telling me about me? Huh? What are you telling me when I read that scripture? What are you telling me about me? What are you telling me about how you made me to be? Because that's what's going on. I'm not looking for anything else but that. That's the truth. And so we're going to get over the it's hard to study. We're going to get over the boring part of it. We're going to get over the duty. Stop. We're going to kill that tonight. No duty. It's not a duty. Right? It's not a duty to be. Who you are is not a duty. Are y'all listening to me? And we're going to get to the point to where you'll get to the point to where you you can't stop thinking about it. And like everything that you, every conversation, and it's not that you know, well, bless the Lord, and then you start the conversation. You can talk about the game or whatever, but like something is coming up in you. Like it's going to be walking around with you because it is you. See, I'm going to trip you out. You ready? Because he is the living word, you the living word. But we don't know it because of our perspective. Isn't perspective important? Isn't perspective in how we've learned and how we've been taught? It's our perspective becomes our world. It becomes the way we think about it. And so if we think that this is the good book, right? The word Bible ain't in the Bible. I'm going to shake your religion. The word Bible ain't in the Bible. You know what Bible really comes from? The word bibliotheca, which really means library. So it really means a library of books. God didn't say nothing about here. Take the Bible. He didn't. Go read it. Go ahead. Y'all can do your study search after that. After class, go do your research and study the class. Do your fact finders. He's talking about you. Are y'all understanding me? And then now, we go from the beginning of Genesis all the way to the New Testament, and then we get to this chapter in John chapter 1, and it says, y'all there? It says, in the beginning was the Word. You see it? With that big W. You see the big W? The uppercase W on there? Yeah, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word what? And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And we'll go back and touch on some of these things, but I just had to keep reading. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Y'all with me? I said, are y'all still with me? Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. All right, you're born of what? What that last part? You're born of what? Of God. See, I don't care about your last name. So what? You're not born of the will of men and the will of flesh and all these other things that you base your foundations on. No, you are born of God. Then the next scripture says what? Read it. Stop. Read that first line. Read it again. One more time. And the word, we're talking about that same word at the beginning of chapter 1, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and then the word was made flesh. What does that mean? I'm asking. Flesh, what's flesh? Come on, kick your hands. Come on, y'all got to know my class. I don't know what other classes sound like or feel like or whatever, but it's mine. Flip. The word was made flesh. Not only was it made flesh, but then what's the next part it's saying? Did what? And dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. Keep going. Full of grace and full of truth. So now here we go. The word was made flesh. Not only was it made flesh, but then it lived among us. I'm gonna teach you something about Jesus. See, and I'm gonna say it again. It was. Jesus said, "I didn't come to do away with the law." Y'all familiar with that scripture? I'm gonna say a lot of scriptures. All right. He said, "I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill it." What he's saying is, I didn't come to make you another rule book for you. Now go read the scriptures. How many times you saw Jesus quoting from the scriptures? Let me show y'all something. There was a lot of things that Jesus did. There was no preliminary scriptures for the way that he did it. Spitting in the dirt, putting in the eye. There was no scripture for that one. He couldn't say turn to Exodus whatever, and I'm about to spit and put this mud in your eye. I'm just trying to get some understanding. Are y'all with me? See, the Bible is a deep well, which is you, and it's showing you who you are. And so now, his whole time is enabling us to be joint heirs with him as a son of the Father. And to function as the Father, as a demonstration of the Father in the flesh. You too. Jesus, when he walked on earth 2,000 years ago, right? He was not the only word made flesh. You are too. I prove you the word. Can I prove you the word? And God said, let us make man in our image. What he did first? He said it, huh? Or what God said, just like it's the same God said, let there be. Okay, and then he said, let us. He said it though. He didn't start getting the dust and just like, I'm going to show y'all after I finish. No, he said it. Let us make man in our image. So, spoken word. You are, say this, I'm going to say I am the word of God. Now, anytime you think the word of God is that Bible that you got sitting on your counter at your house, and God bless the Bible, I'm not taking anything from it. You get me? But anytime you think it's that one that's sitting in your car when you're in the office, then you'll be lost while you're in the office, because clearly if the power is in there and not in you, then you lost. Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? You know, yeah. And sometimes you go in the office, you ain't gonna be up in the what you do all day long. You ain't gonna be up there with your Bible, doing whatever you're doing, and write that. No, but it's still with you. The truth is still you. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we're gonna get down in the nitty gritty of this semester. But the Word was made flesh for a reason. It eliminates your excuse of not being more than you are. Of not being more than we are. We are the express image of God. Yeah, I know we all look different, but we all look like God. We all make up what God looks like. Now, the word made flesh. So I'm going to say this again. I said it in the beginning. I'll say it again. there shouldn't be one doctrine, there shouldn't be one lesson, there shouldn't be one teaching, there shouldn't be one thing that you cannot trace all the way to being made flesh. You know, we got this outside faith. We got this outside glory. We got this outside this, and we got this outside this, when it all should be the living word in you as you. All of it should be brought to the express image of who you are. And then you should function in it as it. I'm going to keep saying it. All right? You got to listen to this class again. You should function in it as it. Right? Not be doing a principle on the outside of you. Your actions, your outside manifestations are only a result of your inside revelation. Yeah, that you can write that one down. I'll get your head. Go ahead. I'm going to just go ahead and tell you that right there. Your outside manifestation is a result of your inside revelation. Bottom line. What's already inside of you is becoming uncovered and becoming revealed, and then it changes your action. You ever saw somebody? Go ahead, write it down. So I'll be looking at the clock. I get it popping. And wait till you're ready. You ever had an action you was trying to change and you just kept on having difficulty with changing that? Oh, come on, y'all. Y'all said y'all gonna be honest with me. Did you ever have an action? And I ain't talking about no sin. Get out your head. Stop. Oh, you're talking about a sin. No, just an action. Right? You might bite your finger. I don't know. Whatever it is. It was an action that you were trying to change. And it may be a deep one, too. But you just couldn't get it. That's because you didn't have an inside revelation of the change in you. And so it didn't manifest outside. See, everything outside comes from inside. There's nothing outside that didn't come from inside somewhere. It's the truth. There is nothing that's on the outside that didn't come from the inside. In your life, there's nothing that manifests in your life on the outside that didn't come from the inside. You say, well, the enemy sent something. But that's other stuff. You should eradicate that from your inside. So living by the book. Oh, that's a great statement. Living by the book. And then I even go further, living as the book. See, truth of the matter is, you know, we're talking about witnessing, huh? Huh? Well, how you witness? So your witness is, do you know Jesus? Huh? If you die today, where you gonna go? Y'all know. You know, where you go? You know how we ease up on, where you go? You go to church somewhere? You know, you try to ease up on the conversation because you know it's not an easy one. But see, like a witness is somebody that has seen something. When you're a witness in a court case, yeah, they call you as a witness because you saw something. Right? And then you testify of your witness. So I don't talk about what the scripture said about you being saved. I show you what saved look like. I'm not talking about being a super deep. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying that people ought to be able to read the word of God looking at you. The attributes of grace should be alive in you. The attributes of forgiveness should be living in you. The attributes of hope should be living in you. The attributes of truth should be living in you as you. It should be something that they see in your actual being. Not something that you read about. That's the problem with the church as a whole right now. We keep pointing over here and say, look, Jesus is going to rescue you instead of Jesus is going to rescue you. That makes you a little nervous, huh? That make you a little nervous? Well, all right. I'm going to teach straight up and down scriptures. Greater is he that's well. Same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells well. Shall he not also quicken your mortal bodies? Even Jesus started talking to you, said, look, listen, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, you do also. And then what greater works than these do you do because I go unto the Father? What is he saying? Have we been, we've been detaching ourselves from the process. We've been trying to, I gotta describe it like this. Come here, Trey. Come here, say it real quick. This is what we've been trying to do. You ready? We're not living Buddha. Come right here, Trey. Come right here. Say it face that way. All right, and this is what we've been trying. This is what we've been trying to do. Y'all ready? I'm gonna show you what we've been doing because we don't know who we are. Right? And so because we don't know who we are, we can't really relate who he is because we don't have him connected in us. See, my witness is dead if I try to point at something outside of me. Are y'all catching on to what I'm saying? There's no power on the outside. The power's on the inside. So here's how I've been witnessing. I've been saying, hey, man, you need to meet Jesus. Right? And that seems cool, don't it? It almost seems like that's the right thing to do, huh? That seemed like, that's where are you involved? So now you've disconnected yourself from, so now you've disconnected yourself from the process, which is the process God set up for witnessing. It, the word was made flesh for a reason. You get it? The word was, but you keep evacuating out of the process and not taking responsibility for the connection. Right now, as he is, so are we in this world. You ever heard that scripture? Right? It says that he's right now interceding for us. Well, the works that I do, so you do also. Good works. He's interceding. So what should I be doing? It's coming together. We skip those things though, right? Here's why you skip them. Here's why you know a lot of scriptures. I bet we can do a scripture fest up in here. And we can quote scriptures all day long, but here's why they don't become flesh, and here's why they don't hit home. Because we don't think it's us. We thought it was, that's a good word. No, you a good word. That's a nice little word. No, that's you. Bring that home. When in actuality, the process should be this. See, we already, me and Jesus already, like, ain't no difference between me and him right now. Like, me and Jesus already. When you see Jesus, you see me. You see me, you see Jesus. It's my whole thing. And now we all get wrapped up. That's my little homeboy. So we all get wrapped up. Now you can't tell no difference. Every joint. Thank y'all. But you get what I'm saying. But you can't do that. If you don't know that scripture. Many times, come on, can we be honest again, right? Many times we don't approach it that way. Amen. Hey. We don't approach it that way. We looking for a word. This is we trying to get a word. God, give me a word for this situation. You are the word for this situation. You just know it's on the inside of you. The kingdom of God. He said, where is the kingdom of God? He said, Lord, here. It's over there. And no, it's over there. No, the kingdom of God is. He wasn't doing a puzzle. It wasn't a riddle. We just make it riddles and make it a mystery because we don't want to simplify it. The kingdom's way of doing things and doing them right on the inside of you. Everything he is, all his plans on the inside of you. So now when he tell me seek first the kingdom of God, he tell me seek the inside. Huh? You out there looking for a path, looking for love in all the wrong places. Huh? When you went to sleep and woke up with it. Right? And you're going to go to sleep with it again, and you walked around with it all day long. You walked around as the truth all day long, but in all that getting, get understanding. Because you don't understand it, and your perception is not right. You don't have a right concept of yourself. You don't have a right concept of you. Therefore, you don't happen much. Becomes a struggle. Anybody ever felt like you were struggling before? Hey, come on. Anybody feel like it's a struggle, it's a tall, I done prayed and I feel like my prayer didn't get answered. I put all on it. And all it was greasy. Come on, I'm gonna hit them spots. Some of them spots got to die. Y'all know that. Some stuff still dying in me. I did the holy all, I prayed the prayer, I did the 1-2-3-step process. I got four, right? But 1-2-3-step process. I slept on that side of the bed. I pray on time for church. I paid my tithes. I did all the right things, but it didn't manifest. So is God a failure? Does God lose? So what is the problem here? Who got the identity crisis? Me or him? Y'all understanding? And so now, Jesus, the Christ, is walking all the way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See, I love the Bible from front to back. But see, when we get to them red words of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's when it gets juicy. That's when everything come home. Because see, I can act like Abraham a little bit sometimes. You too, huh? Come on, y'all! You act like David and come on, all of them, come on. You ain't like David and not the good little parts neither. Not the kill a giant. You. That's the story about you. Look. I'm going to make it simple for you. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels. It's the complete record of what we have of Jesus. Are you understanding me? And he began to say all the things he said to us in the red words right in there, right? All of these things fulfilled the law and bring what manhood was originally intended to be home. It fulfills all the things that everybody else was trying on the outside of those red words, right? It fulfills all that. Moses did a good job, but he couldn't enter into the promised land. So he didn't change, right? Noah did. Come on, who your favorite one was? Come on, they did good jobs, but they didn't redeem mankind. Come on, name your favorites. Come on, I know you got them. And Solomon was David. Yeah, I like David. Solomon was a man, the wisest. That's what I'm going to ask for. Y'all know why Solomon asked for wisdom? Huh? He was so young. We thought, yeah, he had a wisdom. He knew it. No, the boy was like 13. I remember when I was 13. And I got a kingdom, all these people. I seen how these people been acting. You tell me I got to, listen, God, I don't want nothing else. And then I really ain't had to ask for no riches because I'm a king. Let's live by the book. Listen to what I'm trying to tell y'all. See, this is what I want to know in the scriptures. All right, and I got to go here. This is what I want to know in the scriptures. And it'll tell so much. See, I want to know. I understand. Everybody say imagination. Imagination. Come on, say it again, imagination. You like David, right? Mm-hmm. Y'all remember the story about David? And he sling the rocks and he hit Goliath. And somebody described the story to me the other day, and maybe I'll break it down in this class, of all the details that we miss in that scripture. You know, it's probably harder to fight a lion and a bear than it was to a giant. Fighting, see, a man, I can understand how a man fights. You got two hands like me, 2 feet. So like, you know, you ever seen boxing? So we know to roll with the punch and duck and punch it. So that's kind of, I can understand, because you got a mind. But Bear, I don't know what he thinking. I don't know where he about to attack. I don't know what he going for right now. They tell me on Animal Planet they go for the neck, but I don't know. So now my fight's out here. So I've been winning my bigger battles before I came and fought this man. Living by the book. See, I got to use my man. See, I want to know, which way was the wind blowing? I understand Jesus walking on the water, but how far did he walk? And it may not be any record of that, but it makes, like, y'all want a good one? You remember the first miracle? Anybody know the first miracle Jesus did? What's the first miracle? Come on. Water and wine, right? Cool, all right? So y'all know the process of it, right? They came, and people wanted wine. They ran out of wine. They came on the wine. Jesus' mama said, you know, then people need wine. He said, woman, what I got to do with you? Which I don't, you know, I hadn't worked up to that one yet. I probably never work up to it, because, you know, my mama. Right? So, but he was a beast for that. So now he said, what I do? So then he begins to give instructions. And so, you know the story. He said, go fill up them pots. Right? Go take them pots, right, and fill them up with water. And I think, let's see, hold on. Let's go over to chapter 2. And I just want to show you some living by the book. I want to show you why we haven't been slowing down. You know, how long we've been Christians? How long you been born again? All my days, right? Like every day of every day, all the days I remember, right? Like, and so we have a way that we do things, but the Bible says a way that seems right to the man, but then there of his death. That doesn't mean in the coffin all the time. Sometimes that just means no progress. That means no growth, right? Right? That means no fruitfulness or whatever. And so we have ways of thinking and ways of doing things that are okay. They're okay ways because they're better than our old ways. Man, like, you know, the old ways you got delivered from, right? Right? Those of us who ain't been to church forever, right? Like, all right, so it's better than those, but it may not be the way. There's a way to seem right to the man, but then there's Jesus says, I am. All right? So that's the way. Like, you see, that's what we're looking for, right? And so there's ways that we look at things, but in this class and in the class of your life, it's not going to end when this class is over. Like, this is one of the things that I want you to live on a day-by-day basis, right? and you're going to begin to see things differently and look at things differently. Your reception of when you hear messages, you'll be on a different wavelength, and you'll be able to hear some of the things that Apostle has been trying to say, but he couldn't say it to everybody because the church came in looking for a good church service. There's some things he said, and I screamed in service, woo! And I wasn't trying to scream like be you know, religious happy or nothing like that, right? But I, because it hit me, because I on the wavelength, but because I came at a certain wavelength. Y'all know the dial. You remember where you got dials, but it used to be the old dial. Remember the old dials on the radios? And you got the little line that's moving. And you, if you're a little bit off, it'll be, but just turn it just a little bit, and you, it come through clear, right? It's the wavelength. And so sometimes our approach, listen to me, sometimes our approach has been religious, right? Can we be honest about that? Sometimes our approach has been traditional, and so we get the same thing that's been happening, and nothing new, nothing fresh, nothing different than what it was, right? You ever tell the truth, whatever feel like that, right? But living by the book makes you get into the nooks and crannies of the story, and makes you get into the inside of what's really going. So we hear John chapter 2. Third day there was a marriage at Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. All right, we see that. And both Jesus was called and his disciples. So they called him to the wedding. So clearly we see that Jesus fulfilled. He wasn't always in the synagogues. He wasn't always on a journey somewhere going to preach to some people, but he stopped at the wedding, chilling. Amen. Amen. See, Jesus is chilling. We'll never see Jesus chilling. Jesus didn't chill. Okay. Three. And when they wanted wine, I almost believe that's why he answered like that. When they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said, they have no wine. Jesus said, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. In other words, let me chill. Why are you trying to get me to work earlier than I work? Can we talk in regular terms? Okay. And so she knew that Jesus was about the people. Side note, there was not one thing that Jesus did that was self-motivated. Everything he did was for others. Every single thing. He benefited from the things that he did, but every single one of them involved others. Go cancel. Here's a fish. The first fish to come up. Find a piece of money. Go pay a taxes for me and D. Mm-hmm. So she knew what he was about. So his mother said to the servant, she ain't asking no more. Whatever he said until you do it. And there were set six water pots of stone. Are y'all with me? So are we using our imagination? I don't know what kind of table he was sitting at, but we're going to use our imagination. He's sitting there somewhere. Probably didn't look like the table you got, because they probably didn't have the technology to make the kind of table you got, but it was something. Yeah, I don't even know if it was a table. I just know he was sitting there. All right? Mama came and said he need wine. We hear that, and he said, and there were six. So you see the six water pots? Y'all see them? How can y'all see them? Water pots of stone. After the manner of the purifying of the Jews. So what does that mean? Because it's describing the water pots. How many of them was it? How many water pots was it? Six water pots. Do y'all see the six water pots? Yeah. Now, if you skip the six water pots, then you'll miss a revelation that I'm trying to get to you right quick. But there were six of them. We skip it because we want to go. And he brought it back and served it to the master. And he said, this is the greatest one. Y'all say the best for last. And now we didn't skim through and miss the point. We'll be skimming through. How many of them was? Six of them, right? Six water pots. I'm not talking about the number six. No, I ain't got no number numerology. I ain't want to talk about. Just six water pots. But it says, after what the next line? After the manner of pots that was, so these pots were for the holy water to purify the Jews. These pots were where we put the religious holy water in, so that the sacred water, so that the sacred pots now. You don't put no wine in my sacred pots. Y'all with me? There's six of them. And so this is how we do the water and wine story. You ready when we tell it? And sometimes we preach this way because we don't have much time to preach it the long way. But so they went and got the water, and then he brought it back to the man and served it, and the water was turned to wine. He said, the best one we had, and then whatever, right? And we don't slow down to really realize how long this process took and how much time they had in between the start and the end of it where people could have doubted, but they kept believing. I'm going to show you. Six water pots. After the purifying of the Jews. So now you about to tell me to go take the holy pots. This boy about to tell me to go take the holy pots that they wash with and go put some water in them to turn it into some wine, because we know we need wine. What are you about to make me do? I am not going to touch them holy pots. because they're going to kick me out of the church. And then keep reading. It says, what did it say after that? Containing two or three firkins. Anybody know what a firkin is? Anybody know what a firkin is? Y'all don't know what a firkin is? But have y'all ever seen that word before? You probably hadn't seen it. You read the story? You ain't see the firkins though, did you? Because we probably learned the story before we read the story. And so because we learned it before we read it, we skimmed it. But there's something in there. See, I believe in suddenly and straightway, right? But sometimes faith is a process that you have to have an extensive committed period of time. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And you can't lose your faith, and you can't let doubt enter in your process of instruction. Firkins. You see the firkins? Look, it's in the Bible right there. Go ahead, look at it. Firkins. Y'all ain't no firkins in the Bible. Look at you. You wouldn't even look for a firkin because you don't know what a firkin is. How many firkins it was? Tell you what a firkin is? I stop and look at it. A firkin is about, it's between 30 and 40 gallons. Oh. It opened up a little bit, didn't it? It opened up a little bit the process of how much work this process took to get this water in the wine. Uh-oh. How many men it probably did take? It wasn't, the firkin. So 30 and 40 gallons. You know the gallon, you ever a gallon of milk? Huh? You ever try to carry 2 or 3 gallons into your house and your fingers are all right? So you know the process and you know how heavy that is. And it got 2 or 3 firkins. So you're talking 120 gallons in one pot. You got 6 of them. Do your math, right? That's like 700. It's like 720 pots, 720 gallons. I don't know. No judgment on my math. So you got 700 something gallons of water that you got to go get, and it's gonna get this from the well. So from the time Jesus gives instructions until the time they bring this back, I'm sure some of these dudes out there talking about, man, this dude crazy talking about going to get this water. These pots so heavy, right? I'm sure that someone said, man, I'm not going down there and do that, man. You see how big? Y'all ought to get some understanding, all right? And I know it's funny, but like get some understanding of the process. Get some understanding of your process. Get some understanding of when you get instructions and sometimes it seems a little more difficult than what you're willing to do. What he's trying to build in you. Imagine imagine what happened to the pot carriers, right? We don't stop imagination, but I can imagine that their understanding of Christ and then that they had a part of this thing grew. I'm reading in between those lines. So now you got all these big old pots and all these big gallons, and now they got to take it down now and then fill it up with water. Why you didn't tell me to go get fill it up with water? Then I got to bring it back and I got to serve it to the master. And sometimes in those days, if you come bring something to the master, depending on who the master was, because your master, right? The master might beat you. A master might kill you for bringing the wrong thing. So now I didn't put you in a place of danger. Y'all get what's going on? Sometimes you got to go get the pot. Sometimes it's Jesus that's sending you with the pot so that you can see what's in your pot. Are y'all catching that? Sometimes it's Jesus that's sending you on the pathway to do something so that you can see who you really are from the inside and see that thing manifest in front of you. But it becomes the process. Now, we thought it was a little 10-minute. They're going down. And all right, there wasn't no faucets. I'm living by the book. Can we live by the book for a minute? It wasn't no running faucets. So it wasn't like y'all do, right? We do, right? Turn it on, put it up under there, fill a pitcher so you're making some juice or whatever you're making, right? No, ain't none of that. Ain't no running faucets in. Get the water hose. Ain't none of that. We gotta go take this down to the river. All we gotta take it to the well and just keep dipping the well until we get enough water. How long did this take? How long did this sit there and say, like, they coming back, what's going on? Y'all see it? We ain't never look at the story like this, huh? Y'all see it? You're gonna get some revelation out of it when you go study it yourself. Some more revelation, right? But just stopping and slowing down. We only read a couple of scriptures, huh? But stopping and slowing down and understanding what the process of which way the wind was blowing. How was you feeling, Jesus, when you said that? Jesus starts saying some stuff in the Bible, and we get to quoting scriptures. We are biblically selective. We take scriptures that try to fit what we want to say. instead of saying what the scripture is saying, or actually who it's saying. We pull a text out and then make a whole message off of it, and you don't realize that if you read the context, which is the text with the text, then you realize what's really going on. There's something that Jesus said, you go out running your mouth and saying, this is what Jesus said, and you didn't realize who he was talking to. You are your father the devil, but he was talking to the Pharisees. It was in the red, though. But you got to read, because now I'm here with the firkins. 700-something gallons of water. And then I got the holy pots. And I don't know if they're going to kill me. In those days, can we do a little research? I did you, and I really loved that class because it kind of showed me the process of church and state, how church and state got separated, which was a major problem because separation once again. Then it showed me the laws and the customs of the land at the time, right? And so at that time, the priests had they was in cahoots. The king and the priest was in cahoots together. So they was running everything together. So if the priest say you did something unholy, it's time to murder you. That's how Jesus ended up crucifying Jesus. Because it was against what their law was. Huh? So now you come bring this holy water back and with some wine. These holy pots got wine in them now. It ain't hitting home for y'all. Bring them holy pots. What church you go to? Bring holy pots full of wine on you. I said, like, I ain't bringing that up there. Man, I'm not. What? I don't care who you say you are. I'm not bringing it up there. These are holy pots. We just took the flowers out of them on the stage. You want to take the holy pots up there and get water, and now they got wine? How am I supposed to explain this liquor? Are y'all with me? Are we living by the book? Are we understanding the process of it all? I mean, you didn't put me in danger. In actuality, I didn't put you in manifestation. I done put you in somewhere bigger than you. And now, keep reading. Because you keep reading, it says, fill them up to the brim. He's like, don't waste an ounce of water. Fill them up to the brim. And he said, draw out now and bear to the governor of the feast. He put them in danger, and they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was. But see that? We skip over that part too, huh? It's in parentheses and stopped and said that for a reason. But the servants knew. The servants had a different knowing now. The servants knew the truth. The governor of the feast called to the bridegroom and said to him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine. And when men have first, thou hast kept the good wine until now. And I'm sure them servants was all in the glory. Look what we did. I knew we was hearing from the Lord. I knew we was walking the right path when we took them down to get this water, for wine. I knew it. And the next scripture, you see the next scripture? And the next scripture said, Jesus stood up and said, I did it. Y'all see it? Do y'all see that scripture? Look at it. The next scripture said, and Jesus stood up and said, you're welcome. Y'all see it? He's going about his business. This is supposed to happen. I could have made it show up in your glasses like that, but that would have took you out of the operation. That would have skipped you. The Bible story about you, right? You got to catch the Bible's full of parables and allegories, right? Like parables. Like, did y'all know? My time up. God bless y'all. I'll see y'all next time. I ain't getting in no trouble. I ain't getting in trouble with nobody.